masturbate with reverence, or if it's repulsive. Thank you, Rabbi Grunstein.
Amoadim l'simcha, everyone. A good morning. I think this is the first time in the history of our kollel that we're actually learning Torah together on Chol HaMoed Sukkos. And as everybody here knows, one of the many reasons given for the many isuri melacha that we still have on Chol HaMoed, the prohibitions that are with us on Chol HaMoed, is the fact that we should indeed devote more time during Chol HaMoed to be learning Torah. And therefore, thank God, after many years, unfortunately because of terrible circumstances, we're able to actually do that. So I welcome you to the Shir, and I welcome you to our Sukkah. And without further ado, let's begin. This year, to our dismay, many people are homebound. The good news is that because they're homebound, they actually have more time to mekayim the mitzvah of yeshiva basukkah. They can spend more time in their sukkah and less time gallivanting around the country. Not that gallivanting around the country is a terrible thing. After all, there is a mitzvah of simchas yom tov, together with the mitzvah of living in a sukkah. And if it indeed gives you a lot of joy to be walking outside in the heat, then so be it. Let it be the way you celebrate Sukkos. However, indeed, because of circumstances, many people are home much more. And therefore, I thought this morning, we're going to deal with a very germane issue this year. And that is watching TV, returning WhatsApps, reading the newspaper, slandering, and doing many, many things that we usually do at home. Is it appropriate to do it in the sukkah? Or better not. So on a normative year, you're out gallivanting around the country, and you probably eat breakfast and dinner in your sukkahs. Hopefully you sleep in your sukkahs. But this particular year, we have more time at home, and therefore I thought this would be a germane issue to deal with. So I sent the Makorot sheet to Bruce. Bruce, did you have it?
I was going to ask if we could do those things. Yeah, I sent it out. I guess you have to ask if you're allowed to do those things the rest of the year as well. I mean,
correct. We're going to deal with that too. But assuming we do those things all year, as we're going to see this morning, should they be done in the sukkah, or better not? Better the sukkah be a very holy place, with all the mundane activities being done at home. Or perhaps, no! The mitzvah of living in the sukkah means that even the most mundane things we do at home, and perhaps forbidden things we usually do at home, should be done in the sukkah. They being forbidden, we should do tshuva and not do them. But if you're going to do them in the sukkah. So I sent out the Daf Makarot. Everyone got it?
I have a question to ask.
Already? A question. Go.
Because why can't you do it on the beach of Tel Aviv?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear. Say that again. Okay, there's a problem with transmission. Yeah. What can we do? What in Tel Aviv?
I don't go with anybody else. I have my own sukkah. They don't come to me. I don't go to them, and that's it.
I don't understand the question that you're asking. Is there a question?
I'm on the beach in Tel Aviv, and I have a sukkah there. And I don't go with anybody else. They don't come to my sukkah, and I don't go to their sukkah. So why can't it be that?
I don't understand what the problem is. All right. I must have missed it. In any case, let's look at the source sheet and see what we're supposed to do in the sukkah. So the first source on the source sheet everybody knows is the Shulchan Aruch, Keitzad Mitzvat Yeshiva Basukkah. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Gemara and adds, and I'll just quote the relevant part, V'dar Basukkah, Kederech Shudar Beveito B'Shar Yemot HaShana. You should live in the sukkah the same way you live at home all year. So what you always do at home, you should do in the sukkah. What you sometimes do at home and sometimes you do outside, you can do outside the sukkah. But things that you usually do at home, you should do in the sukkah. Rule number one. Rule number two, the Rama adds, V'al Yaseh Shum Tashmish Bazui Basukkah. Don't do anything repulsive in the sukkah. So, for that matter, we're going to live in the sukkah by eating there and sleeping there. And the Rama adds, don't wash dishes there. Don't leave dirty dishes there. Don't bring a garbage pail into your sukkah because that's repulsive. So that's the normative things we usually do in the sukkah. Now comes the question. You want to watch a movie in the sukkah? You want to return WhatsApps. You want to speak on the phone. All those things that we usually say, honestly, we don't should not do it in shul, a very holy place. Should we do it in the sukkah or not? And here we find a fascinating difference of opinion that I admit, it came to my mind a week ago in a 5-minute shiur that the rabbi of the Rimon Synagogue, I forgot its name, Rabbi Sarel gave, and I expanded it far more than he did in this particular shiur, but he opened my eyes to the following machlokas. How do you view a sukkah? Is it a holy place or is it a home where, as a home, you do what you're comfortable to do at home? Or is it so holy that even though at home we usually do it, we shouldn't do it in the sukkah? So if you look at the source sheet, on the right side of the page, you'll see that there is a very extreme point of view of the Siftei Kohen. Who is the Siftei Kohen? We have two Siftei Kohens. One is more famous, the Shach. He wrote a Perish on Shulchan Aruch. This is not the famous one. This is Rav Mordechai HaKohen. He lived around 16th, 17th century. Tzvat, Talmud of Rav Yosef Karo, and the Mabit, the two great rabbis of the time, very much into Kabbalah. And he says the following words: Harei Yeshiva Tzadikim Remuzim Shehim Ba'im VeYoshvim BaSuka Al Kain Tzarich LaShevet Ba BeEma VeYira BeBusha VaAnava. Says the Siftei Kohen, Rav Mordechai HaKohen, the sukkah is the place where we invite in the holy Ushpizin. It's such a holy place that even the holy Ushpizin come in. And as such, you're supposed to sit in the sukkah, shaking with trepidation. And even though you're supposed to eat and drink there, eat, but not too much. Drink, not too much. And he goes on to say, and I quote, whoever keeps these laws and sits betzela de mehemenuta in the shadow of God, sukkah kaltato, the sukkah is going to absorb him. Ve'im lav, and if he doesn't act this way, sukkah poltato, the sukkah will throw him out. So if it was just the Siftei Kohen, a perish on the Chumash, Kabbalah, I wouldn't lose sleep. The problem is, the next source is from my own great Zayde, Rav Yonatan Eibeshitz. My great-grandmother was an Eibeshitz before she got married to a Grunstein. So when Rav Yonatan Eibeshitz says something, I'm a bit more concerned. I say a bit more concerned. Rav Yonatan Eibeshitz, following along from the Siftei Kohen, Rav Yonatan Eibeshitz, if you didn't hear of him, we're talking about a person that lived in the 18th century, rabbi of many great cities in Europe, including Prague, including the city of Altona, and ultimately had a very big fight with Rav Yonatan Eibeshitz. And the bottom line is, he's a very known rabbi, prolific writer, and he says, Shlesh la'adam leshev l'ilmol Torah basuka, lol arbot mishtem mereim, a person should sit in the sukkah, learn Torah, and not have too many guests there, real guests, which he explains, ta'arov et anashim v'nashim, men and women sitting together, bachurim u'batulot, able, free, males and females, chatan de kala, and you shouldn't have a chasan and kala in there, and you start singing, and you start talking. Oilos naim shekach shamot. This is a terrible thing. So he was giving a drusha, Shabbos Shuva, to his community in the year Tufkuf Hei, and he says it's terrible what people do in the sukkah. And he even adds the following words, and he was known for this. He used Hebrew in order to create these words. And he said like this, and I quote, La'asot b'tzel ha'sukkah tzel ra. Whoever does these things, instead of having a tzel, a shadow of God in the sukkah, he has a tzel ra, a terrible shadow. And therefore you're supposed to sit in the sukkah, and you're supposed to learn Torah, and only do holy things. Later on in life, Rav Ovadia Yosef, in his Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, says, based on what we just said, that the Kedushat Shiva Ushpizin Nitzmet Basukah, Lefika Chayoshev Basukah, Lala Shevet Bederech Eretz, Bechavod Uvehadar, Ubifrat, Ki Asukah Gdola Kedushata Meot. Ukemo Shamru in the Gemara, Chal Shem Shamayim Alatzei Asukah. So we have a law that, just like the Shem Shamayim relates to the Korban Chagiga, and you can't use it for other needs, so too, Chal Shem Shamayim Alasukah. You can only use the sukkah for its needs, not for other needs. So if your schach fell down, you can't go ahead and use it as a toothpick for your teeth. And therefore, he says, it's a very holy place. And therefore, he says, don't play board games in the sukkah. So according to Siftei Kohen, Rabbi Yonatan Eibishitz, and even Rav Elvadia Yosef, the sukkah is a very, very holy place. Learn Torah, eat and drink, don't talk too much, obviously don't play board games, and suffice it to say, don't watch TV in there. And that's the way you should do it. Yes, question. Who raised his hand? Arthur.
How are you allowed to sleep in a sukkah then?
Sleep is harmless. You don't do anything.
Yeah, but I mean, you're sleeping. You're not in control of yourself in a holy place like this. We don't sleep in a shul. Why should we be allowed to sleep in a sukkah?
That's an excellent shaila against these points of view. I will just add that, as you know, the Chabadnikim go against the Gemara in Shulchan Aruch and say it's usher to sleep in the sukkah. And part of the reason that they say such a thing, part of the reason they say it is because of what we just said. It's such a holy place. How dare you sleep there? I don't know why you can eat there and not sleep there if it's so holy, because you can't eat in the shul. And you can't sleep in the shul. But apparently eating is okay, sleeping no good. To make a long story short, you know what it's based on. So these are the three points of view. The sukkah is too holy for thou. Don't do anything in there that's not holy. You can eat, you can drink, you can sleep. You can learn Torah. Don't host guests in there. Do not watch TV or movies in there. Definitely don't read the newspaper. Now,
would this be aimed at a target audience where if you don't do these things in your house, for sure don't do them in a sukkah? But if you're used to doing things in your
We'll get to it. These points of view don't agree, Bruce. They say that even though you do it in the house, the sukkah is holier. We don't have a law of Chal Shem Shamayim al Abayit. And therefore, in a sukkah, you can't do it. The middle point of view is the Shlah. The Shlah, quoted by both the Mishnah Brura, the Chafetz Chaim in the 20th century, and the Bikurei Yaakov. The Bikurei Yaakov was Rav Yaakov Ethlinger. He lived in the end of the 18th century into the 19th century. I would say the great last posig of Germany, because he was the rabbi of the Rashar Hirsch. He was the rabbi of Rav Israel Hildesheimer. He died in 1971. He wrote a responsum in which he says that even though you're Mechalel Shabbos, you're not what's called a Mechalel Shabbat Befarhesia. Namely, if you touch wine, then it becomes Stam Yenam. You're not a goy from that perspective. Because he said, in our generation, people make Kiddush and go to soccer games. So they're not necessarily saying that God didn't create the world. So he was a very prolific thinker and an open thinker. His first book was called Bikurei Yaakov. Why did he call it Bikurei Yaakov? Take a wild guess. What's Bikurim?
First fruit.
So his first book of Yaakov, he called Bikurei Yaakov. The Mishnah Brura quotes it in Hilchot Sukkah everywhere. Anyway, the Bikurei Yaakov quotes the Shlah, and so does the Mishnah Brura, and they both say like this, that because the sukkah is so holy, it's better not to talk in there too many idle talk. And I love his words. Everyone listening? Shelo yidaber shmuot klal kemo beveit haKnesset. So even though in shul everyone speaks to each other and they speak mundane talk, don't do it in the sukkah. Sukkah holy. Maybe the shul's not so holy. The sukkah's very holy. I love that. In shul, we slander all the time. All right, but in the sukkah, don't do it in the sukkah. Anyway, one second, Irving. Let me just finish. He says, "Aval misha medaber tzarich lelech lasukkah." Even though it's better not to speak idle talk, if you do, do it in the sukkah. And he goes on to say, "Mischok izaher yotzev yoter biyamim elu." You shouldn't be too happy, clappy, make jokes, because it's a day of din. As we all know, Hoshana Rabbah is the end of the din. That's the day in which he says that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu sealed us on Yom Kippur, he actually puts the books back on Hoshana Rabbah. But once again, he says, if you want to make a good joke, you want to go ahead and have a comedy routine, it has to be in the sukkah. So both the Mishnah Brura and the Bikurei Yaakov, quoting the Shlah, by the way, does everyone know who the Shlah is, or I'm talking Chinese? Shtei Luchot HaBrit, the book, but his name wasn't Shnei Luchot HaBrit, as everybody knows. Anyone know his name? Rabbi Yishayahu Horovitz. He died in 1630. He was the son of a Talmud Muvhak of the Ramah. So we're talking about Poland, Talmid Mufag of the Ramah was his father. He was a rabbi of many, many cities. He wrote the Shelah, which was supposed to replace the Shulchan Aruch. In the sense of, you just read the Shelah, you know the whole Torah. And just like the Rambam, he's failed. Namely, we all have Svarim above and beyond the Shelah and the Rambam. So the Shelah says, better not to do it, but if you feel an urge to make a joke, to speak Lashon Hara, to watch a movie, you have to do it in the Sukkah. So better not to, but if you want to, it has to be in the Sukkah. So while the Sifte Kohen and Rav Ovadia, together with Rav Yonatan Eibishit, said, don't do it in the Sukkah. Comes along the Shelah and says, better not to, but if you have an urge to, do it in the Sukkah. Irving, you had a question?
You know, the Sukkah is not, it's not holy. If you learn something at home, I mean, so you can do it anywhere in your house. Same thing in the Sukkah.
That's exactly Irving.
There's no holiness in the Sukkah.
Irving, that's exactly what we just said. In other words, according to these points of view, the Sukkah is holier than your home, because in the home we don't have a din of Chal Shem Shamayim al Habayit. And because it's holier, only do holy things there, according to the first point of view. According to the Shelah, better, but if you want to do non-holy things, then you should do it in the Sukkah. Now, just to make Irving happy, because he's about to go ahead and say, I'm about to get a heart attack here, what are you talking about? Let's go to the third point of view. And I'll go to the third point of view, which is what I would call the normative point of view, the Ramah, the Simple Mishnah Brura, and I'll introduce it with the following story. I told the story to Dr. Daniel a few days ago when we coordinated the topics of the Shir this morning. So I'll tell everyone the story. As everybody knows, there was a Six-Day War, and after the Six-Day War, one of the most famous holy people in Israel was a one-eyed Willie called Moshe Dayan. We all know how he failed a few years later in the Yom Kippur War, which, by the way, yesterday was the anniversary in the English calendar, October 6th, a terrible war. A terrible war in every way. It totally, totally ruined all our conceptions. To make a long story short, in the beginning of the 70s on Sukkot, there was some sort of a ceremony in the Sukkah of Kfar Etzion, the area where we live, where, as everybody knows, there was hardly anything. And Rav Amital was sitting next to Moshe Dayan. Moshe Dayan comes in with his patch, comes in with his kippah. Dr. Daniel, you heard this a week ago, I'll just repeat it for everyone. He comes in, he sits down next to Rav Amital, and he was a very, very perceptive man. So he said to Rav Amital, tell me, is the sukkah like a shul or like a house? Rav Amital said, it's like a house. Moshe Dayan said, great! He took off his kippah, and he sat there. Gentlemen, that's exactly what the Ramah says. The sukkah is like a house, Irving said earlier. It says in the simple Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch, we all learn, that Katav Ma'arivayel, Harotzeh Lishchak Bekubiyot V'chadomeh, you want to play Monopoly. Yishchak Basukah, you have to do it in the sukkah. V'chen Katav Ma'aril, V'harotzeh L'daber Shmurot Im Chaverov, Yelech L'sukkah. And if you want to stomp, speak to someone, how are you? How are things? We're talking about in the old world, when there used to be dinosaurs roaming the face of the earth, and we used to host people in our sukkahs. You remember that? Arthur, remember? A long time ago? So, if you want to host people, not in the living room, in the sukkah. Now, I just want to put a parenthesis here. Obviously, if the sukkah is a place that's comfortable. We're now living in Efrat. Right now, at this moment, the last time I checked, it was 28 degrees. There's going to be a point today that I believe it's going to be very hot and maybe not comfortable in your sukkah. But if you're comfortable in the sukkah, board games, hosting guests, I'll even add, slander, usher all year. But if you're slandering, you got to do it in the sukkah. If you want to do an avera like that, and you usually do it at home, in the sukkah. Klalo demkala demilta. It's like a house. So Moshe Dayan takes off his kippah because he's not in a shul. We're like a house. We sit, we eat, we drink, we talk about all the things we usually talk about at home. First and foremost, how terrible this shir is. Second of all, how we didn't like davening this morning. It was too long, it was too short, it was up and it was down. Number three, we hate the rabbi, we hate the president, we don't like the mayor, the prime minister's awful, the opposition's even worse, the Hasidim are terrible, look what they're doing, and on the other hand, the people demonstrating, all that in the sukkah.
How does that work out with
everyone? Let's continue. Okay, we have a question here from the live audience. I'll repeat it because you may not hear it. Yeah.
How does that work out with the Ramah before? Because he said Tashmish Bazui not. So,
right.
It's like your house.
The Ramah says no Tashmish Bazui. Repulsive. But these are not repulsive things. This is what you usually do at home. No one says it's repulsive at home to read a newspaper. No one says it's repulsive at home to speak and host guests.
But if you say it's like a house, you should do any type of tashmish in the sukkah then.
Right, but that's exactly why the sukkah is a bit different. You don't do a tashmish bazui. So we wash dishes in the house, not in the sukkah. That's the one difference. So, the Shaar HaTzion, which is the parish of the Mishnah Berurah on himself, he says, U'mekom akom, kishehu tzarich ledaber binyanei esek, Ain lo latzet misukah b'shvil zeh. Debi yeshivato sham af be'eti buro u'mikayim mitzvah yeshiva basukah. And as the Mishnah Berurah sums up, the sukkato tzarich liyot kebeito kol hashana. So comes along the Mishnah Berurah, simple halacha. Let me just finish the halacha. Whatever you do at home, you do in the sukkah, including board games. And I will add again my height of my sukkah's experience outside of a simchas beis hasheva. Was going to Dr. Daniel's house and watching Airplane for the 15th time in the sukkah. I could never watch it again outside the sukkah. It was never funny. It was only funny and good in the sukkah. We had three people carry in a TV, the old TVs. That's what the simple Ramah, Mishnah Berurah, Ma'aril say, that's what you got to do. Sukkah's like a house. You do it in the sukkah. So three points of view. One is the sukkah's holier than thou. Don't do what you usually do at home there. Only holy things. Second opinion, should do holy things, but if you have an urge to do non-holy things, you have to do it in the sukkah. And the third point of view is the sukkah is a simple home. Do what you usually do at home in the sukkah. Those are the three points of view. Very holy, holy, but if you want to do mundane things, you have to. Or it's like a home, do what you usually do at home. Yes, Bruce, you had a question.
No, just because my dog likes hanging out with me, so I bring him in the sukkah. I'm not sure. Based on this view, of course, some would, and some would.
Bruce, you want to bring a behemoth Tamea into your sukkah?
Well, he's not really a behemoth Tamea. He thinks he's one of the kids.
Oh, that's different. Okay. There's no problem whatsoever that I know of to bring a dog into the sukkah, as long as it doesn't scare away the other people. That's supposed to sit in the sukkah. I don't see a problem. So anyway, we have three points of view, and I'd like to explain it based on the following explanation. And again, I heard it from Rav Sarel a few days ago, in brief, and I'd like to say it in my own language now. I believe that these two points of view are basing on the same Gemara Sukkah, which is one of my favorite masechtas in the Shas, and it depends how you view a sukkah. Is a sukkah a holy place, or is the sukkah the place where you insert everything you usually do into the holiness? And I'll explain what I mean. Turn the page, the second page. The Gemara in Masechet Sukkah says as follows. How do we know that the schach has to have three things? It has to be a davar she'ino mekabel tuma. It can't mekabel tuma, so you can't put, say, a frame of a bed as your schach, because it's a kli. Number two is gidulo min haaretz. It has to grow from the ground. And number three is tolosh. It has to be cut from the ground. So the Gemara brings two different psukim. First pasuk, ve'eid ya'aleh min ha'aretz. Ma'eid davar shelo mekabetuma v'gidulo min ha'aretz. Afsukra davar shelo mekabetuma v'gidulo min ha'aretz. This point of view, eid ya'aleh min ha'aretz. Where is that pasuk from? I'll give you a hint. We're going to read it in about a week and a half. On Shabbos, if we still have minyanim when it outside, so we're going to read it. What parsha? Very good. Bereshit. Where in Bereshit? Describing Gan Eden. This is not our reality. This is holy, holy reality. And therefore the Gemara says, very, very perceptively, that this can only be according to the view of Rabbi Eliezer, who says, why do we sit in the sukkah? To remember that in the desert, anybody? God guarded us with the ananei kavod. So we're talking about very, very high, elevated, lofty experiences here. Gan Eden, ananei kavod. That's the sukkah. And therefore the schach has to be something so holy that it's natural, it's from the ground, etc. But the Gemara says, that's Rabbi Eliezer. But we have another point of view, Rabbi Akiva. What does Rabbi Akiva say? Rabbi Akiva says, we don't sit in the sukkah to remember the Ananei Kavod, the holy clouds above us, but rather Sukkot Mamish, because we sat in the desert in quasi-sukkahs. And therefore the pasuk that he brings for the schach is Chag HaSukkot, Aselecha, make a sukkah. So we see two points of view here. Is the sukkah this holy, holy place remembering the Ananei Kavod? Or is the sukkah a place where we remember living in a sukkah in the desert for 7 days? Is it a home or is it a very holy, 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 holy place? And two different psukim brought. And therefore you can understand that based on this, we have two points of view for the sukkah. Is it a very holy place? So holy. Don't even do what you usually do at home or what you even do at shul. Or it's like a home. So do you put on your kippah when you go in? Or can you take it off? Now, let me bring a few ramifications for what I said, because many of you are looking at me saying he made this up. Gentlemen, number one, what do we have to eat in the sukkah? We all know what we have to eat in the sukkah. We know what we don't have to eat in the sukkah. Now comes the following question. Is eating in the sukkah a natural home experience, or is it an artificial one? Now, what do I mean? If you look on the right side of the page, the Gemara brings the following Mishnah, and I brought the Gemara with the Mishnah to make it clear. Rabbi Eliezer, the same Rabbi Eliezer who said the sukkah is Ananei Kavod, holy. Arba asrei su'udot chayav adam le'echol basukah echad bayom ve'echad balayla. A person has to eat 14 meals over sukkahs in a sukkah, because in the time of Rabbi Eliezer, as everybody here knows, they ate a late breakfast and an early dinner. All in all, 14 meals. So if you want to eat the 14 meals in 2 days, you're finished. Why, he says, teishvu. It says you should sit in the sukkah for 7 days. Ke'en taduru. Madiro echad bayom ve'echad balayla. Avsukah echad bayom ve'echad balayla. So you have to go ahead and eat 14 meals. Not so the majority point of view. The majority point of view is that you have to go ahead and eat when you feel like it in the sukkah. And if you don't feel like eating a big meal, you want to eat potato chips and apples, you don't have to eat it in the sukkah. It's not an artificial experience of, oh, I got 3 meals in, 14 minus 3, 11 meals to go. No, it's natural, as the Chachamim explain in that Gemara, and I quote, Madira. Imbay achil, imbay lo achil, avsukanami, imbay achil, imbay lo achil. I feel like it, I have to eat in the sukkah. I don't feel like it, I don't have to eat in the sukkah. No one forces you to go in the sukkah. It's a natural home experience. You don't feel like dinner tonight? Don't eat dinner. According to Rabbi Eliezer, no choice. It's an artificial experience. You have to eat 14 meals. Chachamim, natural, whatever you do at home, do in the sukkah. I'd like to suggest this is representative of their points of view. Since Rabbi Eliezer said the sukkah is so holy means there's rules and regulations, what you do with holy things. What do you do with holy things? Like eating matzah, you eat it, kezayit, properly, leaning. So too in the sukkah, artificial. You artificially mekayim the mitzvah by eating 14 meals, you better have a tally on the wall, how many you got left. According to Chachamim, no, the sukkah is like a home. So whatever you feel like at home, you do. I feel like eating, I eat. I don't feel like eating, I don't eat. I feel like coming to the table, I do. I don't feel like coming to the table, I don't. So outside of Shabbos and Yontif, where we have to eat either 3 meals or 2 meals, comes along Chachamim and say, that's what you do in the sukkah, natural. So, comes along these three points of view and say, look, how do we view a sukkah? If it's like Rabbi Eliezer, Ananei Kavod, it's a very holy place. Only do holy things in there. But if it's like Sukkot Mamish, like they lived in the desert, so it's like a home. If it's like a home, do what you usually do at home in the sukkah. You feel like eating, you eat. You don't feel like eating, you don't. And vice versa. And vice versa. You usually go ahead and you watch movies together as a family. Do it in the sukkah. So these are the two ways of viewing a sukkah. Is it such a holy, holy, holy place? Or is it like a home, which of course has holiness in it, and we're going to get to that in a moment, but what you naturally do at home naturally do in the sukkah. Now, I'll bring you another ramification. Here's the other ramification. Bottom line, we read Kohelet on Sukkot. I don't think there's anyone in the world that looks forward to reading Kohelet anytime. It's a depressing Megillah, and especially during our time of happiness. Now, why do we read it on Sukkot? Many different reasons given. The Ramah says, indeed, you read it on Shabbos Chol HaMoed, but if the first day of Yontif is Shabbos, you should read it on the eighth day. In Israel, we don't have an eighth day of Sukkot. It's a Shmini Atzeret. We don't sit in the Sukkah on the eighth day. So therefore, we read it on the first day. So, comes along the Magen Avraham and explains, why do we read Kohelet? What's the idea of Kohelet? Says the Magen Avraham, Kohelet is, Yipnei Shem Yemei Simcha V'chatuv BaKohelet U'leSimcha Mazo Osa. Anyone ever hear of an oxymoron? What's an oxymoron? An oxymoron means you say a sentence. The sentence is a sentence that goes ahead and makes no sense. So, indeed, the two parts of it, the phrase you use, makes no sense. Can anyone give me examples of that? What about social distancing? Social means being together. Distancing means being apart. Found missing. Open secret. Small crowd. Or fully empty. These are oxymorons. So, comes the Magen Avraham and says, it's our time of happiness. And it says in Kohelet, what's happiness worth? Oh, therefore we read it on Sukkot. That's an oxymoron. Now, there were two great Gedolim that had a machlokas about what this means. Comes the two great Gedolim were Talmidim Muvhakim of Rav Yisrael Salanter. This was the first generation of the Musar movement. One was called Rav Itzala Petterberger or Rav Itzala Blaser. He was a great, great Talmid Chacham. He wrote the book Pri Yitzchak. His years is the years 1837 to 1907. We're talking about already 20th century. And he said, this is why we go ahead and we read Kohelet on Sukkot. This is brought in the book Leket Sichot Musar by Rav Isaac Sher, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Salabotke. And he says, this is why on Yom Kippur we sat in shul or outside this year and we said we're no longer going to do this and we're no longer going to do that and we're no longer going to watch TV too much and we're no longer going to waste our time too much and we're no longer going to eat too much or drink too much. And you know what happens, a few days go by, and you get to Sukkot, and you may think, you may have this out-of-a-body urge to go ahead and to continue to do all those things. So comes along Kohelet and reminds you, all the mundane things on earth is hevel havalim, useless. Just in case you forgot, riches, food, drink, real estate, all hevel havalim. That's how you maintain simcha. Simcha means standing before God, doing holy things, in case staying away from the Hevel Havalim. However, Rav Isaac Sher, in the same book, Leket Sichot Musar, a page later, comes along and brings a totally different view of another Talmid Mufak of Rav Yisrael Salanter, known as the Alter from Salabotke. The Alter of Salabotke, Rav Natan Tzvi Finkel, Salabotke, I remind everyone, was a great, great yeshiva, eventually founded a branch in Israel, today known as Hebron, because it started in Hebron until the massacres in 1929. Incidentally, all the people I mentioned, Rav Isaac Sher, who wrote the book, Rav Itzala Petterberger, and Rav Natan Tzvi Finkel, all made aliyah to Israel when it wasn't in fashion. When it wasn't in fashion, we're talking about the beginning of the 20th century. So, Rav Natan Tzvi Finkel explains as follows. Why do we read Kohelet on Sukkot? Because Kohelet gives us great happiness. We take all the Hevel Havalims and we make it into a mitzvah. Imagine, why do you eat and drink on a Wednesday? Because you're hungry. You eat breakfast, you eat dinner. Comes along Sukkot, it becomes a mitzvah. You make a leishev basukkah. You say, asher kiddishanu b'mitzvotav. To eat. What else is Hevel Havalim? Watching a movie?
Yeah, all year, watching a movie. It's just watching a movie. On Sukkot, you're doing it in the Sukkah? You're mekayim a mitzvah. As a matter of fact, there's many Rishonim that say, this is not the general minhag, but this was the minhag of my Rebbe, Rav Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, following the Gra and many Rishonim. You don't make a bracha leishev when you're about to eat. You make a bracha leishev when you come into the Sukkah. I'm about to return emails. I say leishev basukkah. So comes along Rav Dutton Tzvi Finkel and says, Kohelet makes us so happy. He says everything Hevel Avalim, and then we come home and we elevate it. We say, ah, Hevel Avalim, now it's holy. Because until now, eating and drinking was nothing. In the Sukkah, it's a mitzvah. So as you can see, these two points of view are here even with Kohelet. One says, life is Hevel Avalim, all the things you waste time with. So with the Sukkah, should only be a holy place. And just in case you have an urge to watch a movie, or to read the newspaper, Kohelet reminds you, stay away. Remain holy. Comes along Rav Natan Tzvi Finkel and says the opposite. A sukkah is like a home. If it's like a home, what do we do at home? We take normative activities and we uplift them to become holy. And we can do that in the sukkah because even on the most mundane things, we say, Asher kiddishanu b'mitzvotav, you have sanctified us with your mitzvot. So I'd like to suggest that these are the two points of view that ultimately govern what you do in the sukkah. If you think the sukkah is so holy, so holy it's on an ekavot, then only do learning Torah in there. Don't make jokes. Be very, very much with trepidation, etc. But if you'd like to say it's like a home, do everything you usually do at home in the sukkah. And you have a chance to elevate it to a higher, higher realm. Including watching movies, including reading the newspaper. And obviously, ask yourself a question. Is it appropriate to read the newspaper? If the answer is yes, great. If you think it's inappropriate, don't do it at home. And don't do it in the sukkah. But if it's appropriate in both places. And I'd like to end by saying that I don't believe there's a machlokas here. There's no machlokas here. There is a machlokas, which you're allowed to do in the sukkah. But halacha, I think we all follow the Ramah and the Mishnah Berurah, that what you usually do at home, you do in the sukkah. And the sukkah is like a home. That being said, is it possible for us to elevate everything we do at home to a level of sanctity? Or are we going to fail in that mission miserably? That's the challenge of the holiday of Sukkot. Can we elevate every mundane activity to be holy? Or are we going to fail? And I'd like to end with the words of my Rebbe, Rav Lichtenstein. I can no longer mekayim the mitzvah lahagbil pnei rabo, to visit your Rebbe on Sukkot, because he's no longer in this world with us. But at least I can quote him in this year. So, my Rebbe, Rav Lichtenstein, quoted by his grandson, Ariel Rosenberg, said as follows. Yeshno bitui, this is a bitui, this is a phrase in Masechet Chulin. Chulin shenasu al tarvat hakodesh. Mundane meat, which was done in a holy way. What does that mean? We have korbanot. There's rules and regulations, how to eat them, how to prepare them, how to sacrifice them. And then we have meat that we do what we want with them. And we put them on the barbecue, we put them in the oven, and we put them in water, and we do what we want. There's in between the two extremes, the Gemara in Chulin talks about Chulin Shanasu Atarat HaKodesh, which means you take regular, mundane meat, but you treat it as if it's holy korbanot. And there's a machloket about, does it remain holy? Namely, you have to eat it b'kdusha v'tahara, maybe you can only eat it in Yerushalayim, etc. Or no, you pretended it was holy, but it's not holy. Said my Rebbe, Rav Lichtenstein, and I quote his words as quoted by his grandson, La'akir b'kach she'esh chulin b'chayim, aval et ha'chulin she'efshar, tzarich l'kadesh. We all have to acknowledge that life is not only about holy things. It's also about mundane things. But when possible, and when available, we're supposed to take the mundane and make it holy. And then my Rebbe, Rav Lichtenstein, said so 22 years prior in a beautiful Friday night speech. He said, we have two books in the Torah that end with the words, very similar. The only difference is, take a look, the location. End of the book of Vayikra ends with Elam HaMitzvot, Asher Tziva Hashem et Moshe B'nei Yisrael, Behar Sinai. These are the mitzvot that God commanded in Har Sinai. Very similar. End of Bamidbar. Ele ha-mitzvot, same words, ve-ha-mishpatim, added, asher tziva Hashem b'yat Moshe b'nei Yisrael, be'arvot Moav al Yarden Yerecho. Said my Rebbe Rav Lichtenstein, the Torah is not just giving us locations. What is this, ways? The Torah is telling you are now over here. You have reached your destination. As you know, on Waze, very interesting, Waze is very smart. They understand that different people have different experiences when they drive. So some people like nice instructions, quiet, calm. Some people like a good Yiddish mama telling you off. I downloaded the Yiddish mama. Every time you make a mistake, they reprimand you like it's the end of the world. It's a very, very good one. It's called Yeshivish. It's wonderful. Okay? Every time you make a mistake, yourself are blungent. Okay? And every time you have to make a turn, it's always Be'ezras Hashem. Now, everyone has different experiences when they go ways. But nobody needs to know in all the ways we got where you are. You don't care where you are. You care where you're going, how far away you are. So why does the Torah tell us these are the mitzvot Moshe said in Har Sinai, and these are the mitzvot Moshe said in Arvot Moav? Said my Rebbe Rav Lichtenstein, Sefer Vayikra is all about holiness. Korbanot, Mishkan, Kohanim. What we read on Yom Kippur, Seda Avodat Kohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippurim is in there. The Korbano, very, very holy Har Sinai. Sefer Bamidbar is about realistic life outside the Mishkan. The failures, the challenges from Averot like Chaita Egel to rebellions like Korach. Said my Rebbe, you can't just see God in a shul through learning Gemara. You have to see God and the ways of God in every other place. Not just in Har Sinai holiness, but in Arvot Moav, Yalden Yericho, a simple location on the map. You can see God through the Gemara, and you can see God on the street. You can see God when you make a bracha, and you can see God when you drive safely. So I believe that Sukkot is the holiday in which we try to change everything from Arvot Moav to Har Sinai. We take any mundane activity and it becomes a mitzvah on one condition, that we think in our mind that it's a mitzvah. And we think in our mind it could be elevated. So when you say watch movies in the sukkah, I believe you have to paskin like the simple Shulchan Aruch, even though my own Zaydi said not so. Memechilat Kvodo, because I really know nothing compared to him. Make a long story short, that's on one condition, that when you watch the movie, it's appropriate to watch in a holy place, be it a home or be it a sukkah. If it's inappropriate, don't watch it. Don't watch it at home and don't watch it in a sukkah. If slander's no good, not at home and not in a sukkah. And if it's not slander, it's a very lively conversation for us to connect to one another. It's appropriate in both places. That's the challenge of sukkahs. Take every hevel havalim and elevate it. And I'll just end with the following thought that I heard from Usher Weisschlita. You notice that on Sukkot, we don't do just Nisuach Yayin. Yayin, very holy, we use it for Kiddush, Avdalah, Bris Milah, even at a Pidyon HaBen. We do Nisuach Hamayim. You know what water is in Halacha? It's the most mundane, unimportant thing in the world. Why? Because you all know, Hashotem Mayim Litzam'o, you don't have to make a bracha. Says Rav Asher Weiss, see what you do on Sukkot? You take the most mundane, unimportant things and you elevate them. And he proves his point, not just the water versus the wine. He proves his point from another halacha. Gentlemen, we mentioned the schach. Schach has to come from what? Not from nice kalim, but psolet goren v'yekev. Junk, raw material. We take raw material and it becomes the holy schach. So holy that there's rules and regulations how to use it and how not to use it. That's the challenge of Sukkot. Take everything and elevate it. And if we're successful on Sukkot, we'll be successful all year. Wishing everyone a Chag Sameach, a Mo'adim L'Simcha, and Be'ezrat Hashem, we should be zochet to a lot of health first and foremost, and above and beyond health, be able to elevate everything, from a piano and a TV, to the way we eat and drink and talk, to the level of sanctity. Wishing everyone a Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach. Next week we're back to our regular schedule.
Take care, everyone. If there's any chats, I just want to see if someone asked a question. No. Matijel, thank you for the compliment. Okay. Achak Sameach, everyone. Take care. Chag Sameach. I hope I gave credence to the Daniel family's Minhagim on this particular shir that I, of course, adopted in my own house as well, or to be more precise, in my own sukkah.
The mafreya, you gave the heter to the mafreya.
It's a heter. I believe it's lechatchila. It's not even a heter. But it's. I'm glad I was able to. Achak Sameach, everyone. Take care. One second here. I have to say...
Shh.